At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, good morning, St. Louis. Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm here to tackle all of your home remodeling and maintenance needs and questions. Whether you're dreaming up a new kitchen, dealing with a leaky faucet, or anything in between, I'm here to help. You can give me a call, like he said, 314-436-7900. Let's get those projects moving and underway for you. We've got a fantastic show lined up today with all kinds of stories and questions and listener questions and expert tips. And so right now for you, best thing you could do is grab your favorite drink, grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and let's talk about home improvement right here on KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Pick up that phone and dial. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. You can get all your questions answered. Let's turn your house into the home of your dreams right here. And again, we have a full show for you. The Cardinals are taking on Toronto after the show, be starting shortly after 1 o'clock, so everyone can enjoy that once we're done. But we got a full show for you today. Lots of topics and questions and concerns and things that we've gone over. We had some really great questions and conversations last week that we spoke about. One of my favorite things that we've done for years and years, the pop-up drains, getting the gutters away from your house. We had a conversation about how do you do that correctly? Why are they sinking into the ground and getting too low? And we kind of went over the best way to install that, which another kind of complaint that I've heard about the pop-up drains over years and years was they freeze up in the winter sometimes, and that pipe will be full of water and it'll freeze. Well, if they're not installed correctly and that drain, it's not letting that water in that pipe go out to grade, and it doesn't have a rock base that'll help hold it up and take that water on and let it out of that pipe. It's a lot harder to get that water out in actual dirt from a small weep hole. So that's typically the reason that that's even happening. So if it's freezing up in the winter, you can bet it's not installed properly, and you're going to have probably other problems with it, maybe sinking down the road and getting a little too low in the ground, and then the grass kind of covers and grows over them, and we actually lose sight. And that happens with the open-ended stuff too. When you leave the pipe open-ended, a lot of times it can kind of just, the ground moves, silt moves, and grass grows over it, and you can't even find the end. You got to run a bunch of water and look for the wet spot. So look in our past episode from last week for some corrections on that and how to do that. So speaking of the phone calls, though, we've got Mary on the line. Let's jump in here with Mary and see what's going on. Thanks for calling, Mary.
Hello. I'm glad to take my call. This is sounding weird, but the house is over 50 years old. And for some reason, I started hearing a hum back in the basement below where all the bathrooms are. There's two bathrooms back to back of each other on the top floor, and there's one in the lower in the basement.
Uh-huh.
But it's a hum that only lasts for, you know, sometimes 5 seconds, sometimes 2 minutes, but it's a hum. It's not when anything is on, when water is running or electric. So I don't know what that really is. And I had the water meter came out to change my water meter, and he was here, and I asked him about it. He says, well, I don't hear anything. And then the thing clicked. It makes a definite click, and he heard that. He said, well, I hear that, but I can't tell you what kind of problem that is.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of under and between two back-to-back bathrooms, you said?
Well, almost like it's coming from inside the concrete that's in the basement, because it's not coming from any of the pipes.
Okay. Is the water where the water comes into the home through the foundation wall, is that right in that same area?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've had some weird sounds like that before. I actually had one years ago. We were never able to track down. We tried, we actually tried putting, kind of like the old mechanics used to do, when they would put a screwdriver on your engine block and kind of move it around and put their ear towards it to kind of try and isolate that click or that sound that you're hearing and kind of where is it around the motor. I've tried to do that before. Didn't have a lot of success, but you can try stuff like that on like the water line, maybe right at the foundation when you're hearing it, and see if you hear it any kind of louder through like a piece of metal close to your ear touching that pipe. These things are very, very hard to track down if you can't just hear it well enough to kind of go right towards it, or if it's, you know, so because it could be something from just the water line outside coming through your foundation wall and just a slight vibration. Something's happening when water moves through the lines out by the street and it's sending it down towards your house. There's so many things like that. It could be, it's kind of just a trial and error and see where you think you're hearing it from by doing that. Touch things with like a metal flathead screwdriver or something and see if it changes that sound or you hear it any more when that's close to your ear once you do that. And I would check ductwork, if there's ductwork pipes running through there. It could be something slightly from the furnace that's kind of far away, but you're just barely hearing it through the ductwork. So I would look into all sorts of things, the supply, the drain, the ductwork. Try it on just the concrete wall. You know,
okay.
Because
even last night, I didn't even have the air on or anything. I'd shut off the air conditioner, and this morning I heard it at 7 o'clock.
I mean, as long as you don't have anything electronic with that bathroom, and I'm talking about like a shower valve that is electronic that you can program or set.
No,
different temperatures, you know, because that stuff can have little power to it, low volt power, where there might be something, because it could be some sort of low volt transformer, something like that, electrical, that could be making that happen too. So
yeah, I just I figured I wouldn't even know who to bring up, because I had the plumber out too, but he was here for a different reason. You know, one of the toilets on the top floor, the chain broke on inside the flush, and even he says, I have no idea what that sound is. It's just the lightest hum, but I can hear it when I'm in there, and they heard it too. And it definitely clicks on and clicks off.
So I would look also when you're hearing it at go in the bathrooms and kind of look at switches, GFCI outlets, and light fixtures.
Okay.
Because electrical can do that too.
Well, and none of that was on, because I was in bed this morning and nothing was on, and you had it. And I even used, I think you had once online, to use something to clear your pipes all the time.
The drains, yep, the Ridex.
Yes, Ridex. And so I used that last month. I think it said to use it once a month. But I thought I'll even use that, see if that does anything, but it didn't, so.
Yeah, that it's something like what you're talking about is probably not in your drain. It's in a supply or electrical.
It has to be electrical, right?
Or HVAC, something mechanical, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay, well, I should just wait and see what happens and just try to pay attention to it, because I wouldn't even know who do you call.
Try the GFI outlets in the bathrooms. If you start to hear it, go right up to one of them and make sure you're not hearing it from that.
Okay, and if I do hear that, who do you call?
That would be an electrician. If you heard it right at one of those outlets, it's probably just going bad and needs to be changed.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right, you're no problem. You're very welcome, Mary. Great question, great call, and we got to jump into a break. So, James, if you can hold the line through this quick short break, we'll take a break. We'll get to you and other things as soon as we return. Do not touch that dial.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, we are back, having a good time. Great, great question right up front. Definitely a hard thing to try and find and figure out for Mary there, but I wish her a lot of luck in just trying to go around to these different things and see if you can narrow that down. And cup on the wall, like kind of the glass on the door to hear things through it, maybe doing that in areas on the wall. There's all things, sort of things like that you could do to try and get through that. But hey, Rich Orris here, KMOX Home Improvement Show, live for you. You can give me a call today, 314-436-7900. And we've got James on the line with a question. Let's get straight to that. Thanks for holding through the break there, James. What you got going on?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Right. Well, I'll be better if you give me a good answer.
Okay, good. Let's see what we can do.
We have a property, a rental property we purchased a couple of years ago and renovated. And so this past winter was the first winter that I had all the water on and all the heat and everything. And this house, the previous owner made a house addition to it, two bedrooms and a bathroom. So when they created that addition, it created a crawl space.
Uh-huh.
And he had the supply lines for that bathroom and that crawl space. And so this past winter, I just kind of kept the doors open to the cabinets and, you know, kept the water running. But
okay.
Now I have a tenant in there. My question is, should I think about maybe heat tracing that? Or is it the weather not harsh enough here where I can just get by just by insulating those lines? Because it is enclosed area and it's accessible, but I was just wondering which route I should go to protect those lines to keep them from freezing.
Oh yeah, certainly. So a couple of questions here. So you said it's accessible to get into the crawl space. Where is that access door at?
It's on the outside in the back of the house.
Okay.
At ground level. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then is there any vents that you kind of can open and close to let air go through that crawl space, do you know?
No, nothing but the access door. That's it.
Okay. So, yeah, you're definitely insulating that to keep those pipes from freezing is very important. We are definitely in an area here where we get cold enough weather, and frozen pipes is a huge concern when, you know, in January, February, when it really gets cold, that is definitely a huge possibility for you. So I would definitely recommend you can do like the heat tape around the pipes that you plug in, and that will help. Doing what you've done over the past, let it drip, let the water slowly drip, and keep that water moving helps also. And opening the cabinet doors to get heat from the first floor around those pipes where they come up into the cabinet and everything is another great idea. But those are all things that you have to be on top of, and it's hard to know if your renter's going to be on top of that. And you don't want that heat tape on all the time. And you have to kind of monitor the weather and know, okay, I'm going to go flip a switch or I'm going to go plug that in because I'm going to have a couple of cold weeks here and the overnight lows are getting to a certain point. So your other solution is to basically insulate that crawl space in a manner that It's just like the basement of the home. The basement of, okay. of the rest of the home doesn't have vents that constantly lets air in and out. Because you really don't want that cold air coming in the winter, and you got to remember to close vents in these crawl spaces if you have them. But trying to insulate that door, air seal that door and that access, and then insulating the around the perimeter of that crawl space, just like your basement is inside, around the band board, where the floor joists are, where air infiltrates from. And then the other thing you could consider is opening up a small, if there's HVAC running through there, well, one, your HVAC is going to leak. If it's not taped up and sealed and all of that, it's going to leak some. But you can also condition the space a little bit more by opening up a small, you know, creating an HVAC vent in there that you can have half open or something like that, that'll get some air mixture from the heating and cooling and kind of condition that space. That costs a little bit of money too, but with your access door coming from the outside, making sure you do that at the same time too when you try and insulate everything might be your best bet to help and keep that from happening.
Okay, so you're saying that to do that rather than to just heat, because the previous owner, they put plastic down there on the ground portion of it, and that's about it. So you're saying to go further and insulate all the surrounding walls and everything in there and then create a vent space?
Yep, yep. If you insulate everything around the perimeter and get a good insulation value, and you can do it as by way of the best way would be spraying like a spray foam insulation over all the walls, the wood floor edges, what we call the band board, like where it's right between outside, and because that will actually block all the air and any air infiltration. But you'll still have that access door, and you need to try and use like weather stripping and insulation on the back of that that can kind of maybe attach and move with the door to try and keep that temperature out from coming around the door. You almost got to think of that access door into that crawl space from the outside like the front door of the home. It has rubber stripping. When it shuts, it kind of blocks air from blowing in, and you need something like that to keep the temperature difference and keep the air on the other side of that door. So something with that too, and then you can maybe just do a small like 4-inch vent that you can just keep like half open where it'll put some conditioned air from the heating and cooling ductwork into that crawl space, and then you know between the two you'll definitely be good. The other thing you could do, won't really help with temperature, is we usually put in a rubber liner that we can seal. And you run that rubber liner up onto the foundation walls. And then when you do that spray foam insulation, you spray foam that down onto that rubber liner. And that way you're sealed, and that seals moisture from the ground. That'll take care more of like ground moisture than it will temperature. The rubber liner is better than the plastic, but dealing with temperature, you're more into the insulation, but the rubber liner might be a good thing, and seal that up just to keep ground moisture and high humidity and everything out of there. So this is a common thing in our area.
Yeah, I had a professional come out, and it was almost cost prohibitive, so I was trying to see if there was alternative.
Yep. So your alternative is probably if all that's cost prohibitive, your alternative would be try and seal that door up as much as you can to keep the cold air on the outside of that access door with weather stripping, with however you can. Just doing like just fiberglass insulation around the band board, around the three sides, so just minimal insulation, and then put that vent, open up a vent from the trunk that will put warm air in there and condition that air in the winter. Gotcha. And that'll be your best battle with a renter against those pipes freezing. So that's what I would recommend to be the most cost prohibitive, you know, okay. So that you're not going way overboard. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank Sound you good? Very, very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem. Great thing we talk about all the time. I actually had that on my list from a conversation from last week and from someone I went and visited yesterday. I'll try and get to that a little bit later in the show. Right now, we're going to take our middle hour break. If Chris and Larry can hang on through this quick break, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. More to come after this.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, guys, we are back. KMOX Home Improvement Show, everything you need about your house. Give me a call. I'm here. We got a full show for you. 314-436-7900 is where you will find me. We've got a couple calls. Good enough to wade through the break. We've got Chris. I think he has something, a possible solution for Mary. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Just fine, sir. How are you doing?
Good, good. You got something on the humming in the bathrooms that you found in the past?
Well, I didn't hear the part about it being in the bathrooms. I heard something about it being with water, and so I was thinking the ice maker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, from what she described, it was kind of in the basement underneath the two back-to-back bathrooms.
Well, okay, but you said it's in the basement, so that's where the ice maker valve is and the ice maker line. So
try
to turn the ice maker off. And
And that might be, definitely close to, you know, the same area, and these things, it's kind of like, you know, air and water taking the path of least resistant. That can go that sound can just go through. It's connected to a pipe. You could hear it over here, and it's really happening over there, and you just don't realize it. So it could be 20 feet away from where you're hearing it pretty easily. So yeah, that is a good thought there. And if Mary, if you're still there and your kitchen's anywhere close to there and you got a ice maker, water kicks on to fill that tray, that could definitely be it. And that would be, it'd be a quicker sound. She said 5 seconds to 2 minutes, but you know, it's hard to judge time, but no, that's awesome. I appreciate that thought.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks. Yep. You too. I love the help. I love people coming in with ideas because it is without being at the house and looking around and thinking is kind of what I'm used to. It does get difficult to think about every thought and area in different things. If you're there, you kind of walk around the house and look and see. So, but hey, we got Larry on the line. Let's see what Larry has going on. Do we lose Larry? All right, I think Larry's call dropped. So, Larry, if you are there, feel free to join everybody else. Give us a call. I'm here. I got plenty of time. 314-436-7900 is how you'll get to me. So I did have something that was actually on my list to kind of talk to today because in the question of the crawl space and kind of what James has going on and – We spoke about it last week also. It's a very common thing in our area in St. Louis with these crawl spaces and how they're made. And so I was kind of thinking about running through this a little bit more. And then I really kind of turned my thought on the drive in to why this still happens and why it still happens more often than I would at least hope that it should anymore, especially with newer build. And I'm driving in and I'm listening to a functional medicine doctor talk about people being, you know, diagnosed and how diagnoses are kind of myths. And when someone says, and this is kind of correlates with your house of looking at something, when they say, wow, I've got mold in my crawl space. Well, you can fix the mold. And he, the way they were talking is kind of the same thing with health. They look at it and they say, oh, well, your thyroid's low, so here, take this medicine and it'll raise it. And but maybe your thyroid's low. They're like, what's the cause of that happening? Well, you've got this chronic fatigue. Well, what's the cause of that happening? Do you dig deeper and find out? And if we don't do the same thing as they're talking about with our health and our bodies, if you don't do that same thing with your home, then you end up the same way with the medicine. As they just kind of, they go, oh, your door's leaking, put in a new door. Well, when they put in the new door, when they built the house, they didn't do everything that they could have to make sure that doesn't happen. So now, if you don't do all that other stuff, if you don't diagnose, well, how is water getting to this door and why is it getting inside? Because if it was installed properly and flashed properly, and I can prevent all that with the new door. If you don't do that, then you're right back at it. You're going to go, okay, you get a new door. Well, I hope you're not going to live there longer than 10 years, because if it took the first door 10 years to leak, it might take the second door 1 to 10 years to leak, and hopefully you're not there anymore or you're dealing with the same thing. And I see that a lot also, where it's like, oh yeah, well, we had this problem when the house was built, and then we had this company come out and they put in a new door, and now it's 5 years later and I've got the same issue reoccurring. And I'm going, well, the diagnosis is your door has water around it and your door is rotting. But the cause is the house doesn't have house wrap and flashing tape and head flashing over the door that makes water go where I want it to. And I'm not controlling that water, so it's not getting inside your house. That's the actual cause, and that needs to be fixed more so than the actual door. And we have the same thing with crawl spaces. And I talk about it all the time, where the way we used to build crawl spaces, and I have built room additions in my past that licensed architects drew, that this was the method that we did it, and this was all that we knew. And you basically, you put two or three vents in there where you could open and close these vents and get air from outside into that crawl space. And then sometimes they put that access door on the outside, and that leaks a lot of air and in the winter and all that. And so they put a piece of plastic on the ground, and that doesn't really keep moisture out. It doesn't hold moisture vapor from getting into the crawl space. So we've got this really, this crawl space system that will make it like a basement, that will make it breathe with the house, that will protect it from water, from moisture, from air differences, from condensation. You won't get mold and all these other things happening if you build and you do this crawl space really, really well. And yet I see plans. I would like everybody to try and guess, like if I went to a client's house and they had plans to build a room addition from a licensed architect, and I looked at those plans and said, wow, they're saying build the crawl space the same way we built it 20, 30 years ago, and now there's a better way. When do you think's the last time I saw plans to build a room addition that way? Well, surprisingly enough, it was yesterday. It was yesterday morning. I'm looking at plans that an architect drew. This was not Mosby's architect. This was not our plans. It was, hey, I got some plans from an architect. This is what I want my house to be. We're going to add this on. Can you look at it? Can you tell me what you think about it? And the first thing, I'm on page two going, I wouldn't do the crawl space like that. And it was exactly the same crawl space that James was calling in asking, how do I keep my pipes from freezing? It had a door to access the crawl space on the outside of the home, and it had vents that came from outside on two ends, one at each end of this crawl space. And you need to go in there, and to make that function, you need to open those vents for the spring and in the summer, and you need to close them when it starts getting cold. So you've got this function that you need to do. And so first conversation is he's going to put an access through the floor in the walk-in closet so he doesn't have an access from outside. And then we're like, don't let them put those vents in. If they do, spray foam them shut and don't ever have those vents work. And he's the person I was talking to has a lot of, he's a plumber. He has a lot of building knowledge. So he was like, well, I'm okay without the liner and all that because I can keep my eye on it. And if I start to notice moisture and having problems, I'll go down there and I'll install a liner and I'll do all this work we're talking about. I'll put in a sump pump if I need it. We kind of do a lot of these things as a future protection of, we don't know that you're going to need a sump pump. What we know is that probably 60, 70% of the houses that are built ends up with a sump pump that is needed, that either gets added or it's there and then from the build, and then it starts working and you've got enough water. So if 60, 70-something percent of homes built, the room additions are going to be the same way. 70% of them, at some point, you're going to need a guy in there crawling around installing a sump pump. So maybe you do that up front when it's easier, when you can stand up and get those pipes in and the pit in and everything, and you can run the wiring much easier to an outlet for it while you're building all of this. And the cost of putting it in while you build it is much lower than the cost of what it takes once it's been built and it's 5, 10 years down the road and you're trying to get all this installed later on in this tiny 2.5, 3 foot deep little basement space that you're crawling around in. So consider that on your room additions. And it is surprising to me that it's 2024 and I'm still seeing crawl spaces designed in a way that most people have stopped doing that at least 10 or more years ago. We stopped it well more than 10 years ago here at Mosby Building Arts and doing this a better way. So consider all that when you're getting all this work done and looked at on your home. So we're going to get into our final break here of this hour, and we'll have plenty more for you. I'll have some time in the next segment for some calls. If you got a question, anything happening, feel free to reach out, 314-436-7900. Get you right to me. Stay tuned. We'll have more to come. Don't touch your dial.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right. Hey, we are back. Final segment of this hour, but I got some time for you, and we've got a whole another fun hour to come. Plenty of things going on in our area with our homes. Whatever you need around about your home, let me help you out today. 314-436-7900 is how you can find me. And we've been going over some really good, interesting, common stuff in the St. Louis area with, you know, pipes freezing for sure, building crawl spaces correctly, how to get things done and handled. We did have another call in for Mary's humming issue that they kind of mentioned, you know, could it possibly be a sump pump, which I would definitely think if it's a regular sump pump for groundwater and they're in the basement, I would think that would be loud enough that they would realize that that's what's clicking on and off and running, but could be a possibility. But then the thought kind of came to if, and maybe the plumber she had out there would have known or not, but if they have a sewage sump pump, if their sewer line goes out of the house halfway up the foundation wall and you have drains in the basement and you have a sump pump for the sewer system where it grinds and it brings, so if you have a bathroom in the basement, and it needs to, you know, it's called a lift station. Basically, those can kind of do the same thing because there's a check valve that keeps the stuff from coming backwards back into the pit. So that can make a clicking sound. And of course, you're humming. It's a sealed system for the smell and everything else. So your humming could be a little more distant sounding. If you have a sewage system, lift station, sump pump, that could be a possibility of a weird humming sound in your house. But thinking about like sump pumps and how often when we build homes today, it's pretty much a requirement in pretty much every municipality area that they just have it in their codes there that you need a drain system and a sump pump pit. You don't necessarily have to put the sump pump in it, or you have to have the power ready and you have to have the pit and the pipes in so that someone could add the sump pump when they start getting water in that 60, 70, 80% of homes that end up needing it anyways. It's so often that now they just require us to do that when we build and have full basements. So if it's that often, it can be that often everywhere. And I remember years ago, I moved into a house, and that home was built around 1999, something like that. It was maybe 2002 or three, so it was a few years old. So when we moved in, I went ahead. The sump pit was dry as a bone. You couldn't see anything in it. I went ahead, put a sump pump and the piping and everything in it just because, have it ready. And if you end up getting water, and I'll bet we lived there at least a few years, maybe 3 years, something like that. And I was putting my son to bed, and his bedroom was right over the sump pump in the corner of the house on the first floor. Sump pump's in the basement. And we started hearing it kind of like what she was from, this weird humming sound. And my son was like, oh, I think that's the neighbor's air conditioner, because that he hears that all the time from that side of the neighbor's home. And I'm like, no, it's pretty much dead of winter. I don't think it's the air conditioner. So I started kind of going around, look around, go down in the basement. And it was the first time I had, you know, a lot of snow melting. Of course, back then we got snow. Seemed like we got much more snow. So snow melting in a warmer part of winter. It was the first time I got water around there, and sump pumps kicking on and running outside. And then immediately I'm thinking, well, yeah, now I need to really take that sump pump line farther away from the house, because it only stuck out about a couple feet away from the foundation wall. And that's a whole nother thing with managing that water. You want to make sure you get it far enough away, because if you pump it out of your foundation and you dump it right on the other side of that foundation wall, guess what happens? You've now got this recirculating water pump system that it just runs right down the outside, comes under the footing, picks it up again, pumps it right back out to the outside of the home. So we definitely recommend getting that water at least 10 feet away from that foundation, if not further, if you can, and just have it away, have it gone, no concern anymore. And once you pick that water up, move it, do the same thing with the downspouts and in the gutters around the house. Get that water pushed far enough away that it's not going down to that foundation. Your foundation will thank you later, and it could prevent some need for piers and settling, and the more water comes around there. So managing that water from the outside is a great thing to do, just to keep it away, keep that foundation healthy, and good reason to protect that foundation and seal it up and waterproof it from the outside when you build the place. So, hey, we got to get into our break here. We're having a great time. 314-436-7900 is where you'll find me in the next hour.